Amen. All right. I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled Spiritual Blindness, just a study in the Bible concerning spiritual blindness, and I think it'll be a blessing to us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Jesus came to give us sight. Amen. Spiritual eyesight. Amen. To see things that we would not have otherwise been able to see with our natural eyes. Amen. This is key to the Christian life. This is key to being born again. Amen. And so we're going to look at this. And just with everything going on and with the tent right around the corner, talking to people, we might get some good experiences there in trying to talk to just a variety of people. We, in some cases, already have. And there's some crazy things going on in our world. Amen. And that's just fine. Amen. We just want to see things as God sees them. And we want to be able to be perceptive and discerning in this day that we live. And so in 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to begin in verse number 1. And in this text, you'll see in here how this all ties together and how the topic tonight will be introduced in reference to just to being able to discern spiritual things. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." This is Paul, of course, speaking to the church there at Corinth. And they were having some troubles in reference to carnality. And, you know, carnality breeds carnality. And not just, sometimes when we think of carnality, we think of like lewdness, wickedness, doing wrong, all of that. But, you know, carnality is just simply operating in the flesh. It's just simply operating not from the power of God, but from the power of man. Amen. And so when we approach things, when we approach soul winning, when we approach trying to help people spiritually, help people with issues, try to guide our own lives, make decisions, we are faced with a decision. Are we going to make them spiritually, or are we going to make them naturally? And if we make them naturally, then we do that without a spiritual eyesight. And Paul said when he came to them, he came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. And he actually likened carnality unto that, amen, trying to be, you know, we've had this conversation with other preachers. Some preachers, they alliterate everything, right? Everything is like the same letter, all that, and they use all these different words and all that. I've never been able to do that, and I don't even want to do that, amen, because I want you to remember the words of God, not these fancy words. And maybe that helps people remember stuff. I've just not been able to, I just let the word of God kind of make the outline. But sometimes that happens, and I don't know what that is necessarily, but all I know is this, is that I just want you to remember the word of God. The word of God is powerful. That is where the power lies. It's not with me. It's not in my ability to articulate. It's in the word of God. It's always in the word of God. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Look at this, verse number 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." This is really interesting, because what he's saying is this, is that he is not speaking with man's wisdom, but he's speaking with a wisdom of God, which ultimately is a hidden wisdom to those that aren't spiritually discerning things or tapped into the Spirit of God. And he says he's doing this because our faith needs to be in God and his word and what the Spirit of God is doing, not in a man, not in what men can do, not in an excellency of speech, not in just, you know, an ability to speak and articulate on a fleshly realm. And there are those. There are those out there that really have a command of the language and know all these things and different things. But ultimately, we want our faith not to be in men, but in God and specifically in the Word of God. And he calls it here, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world under our glory, which means is that there is a decoder, there is a key decoder instrument that God has given to us when the Word of God is being preached. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God has been given to us to lead us and guide us in truth. And we as preachers don't want to neglect that reality, that this is how God's word goes forth. Amen. It's not on me to be able to make the message understandable to everybody. Amen. Now, we should make sure that we're not on purpose confounding the message. We should just preach the word. But we rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to take what we say and then deliver it to the hearer. Amen. And this is what Paul is saying here. In verse number 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Did you ever stop and think about how the Pharisees knew the word of God and they still crucified Jesus? Isn't that amazing? Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not working within them to discern for them that that was the Son of God. Does that make sense? They were not going to come up with that on their own. Amen? Remember when a bunch went away, I think it was John 6, and then Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, will you also go away? And he says, how can we? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, who gave him that knowledge? It was the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we see that, amen, in the scriptures. So where there was a bunch of things there to offend, the disciples said, we ain't going anywhere the apostles, because we know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that flesh and blood hath not declared this unto you, revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And so this passage goes on in verse number 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Think of that right there. It says here, as it is written, eye hath not seen. That's the natural eye. We cannot see it with our eye, nor ear heard. We don't hear it with our natural ear, nor have entered into the heart of man. Remember, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? Well, we understand that about our heart, so we don't trust it. We don't trust our heart. We guide our heart. Amen? And so that's Bible. Amen? We guide our heart in the way. Because in our natural heart, with our natural eyesight, with our natural hearing, we are not going to perceive or understand the things that God has for us, what he's prepared for us. Amen? For those that love him. Verse number 10. But God hath revealed them. What's them? These truths. Unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So if we are going to know the truths of God's word, if we're going to know spiritual things, it's not because we somehow got smart. It's not because of what we bring. It's because we have embraced the Holy Spirit of God's working in our lives. And that's what we're going to deal with today. How do we gain that spiritual understanding, or how do we lose it? Verse number 11 says, verse 10 again. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit which is in him? Amen. So how do we know the things of men? Well, we're men. And our carnal spirit, our natural man, understands the things of men. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so, if we're going to understand spiritual things, godly things, then we need God's Spirit to reveal them unto us, because the natural man spirit does not understand. There's a division there. There's a separation there. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That passage right there is absolutely very insightful as we consider just trying to navigate this day that we live. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So they are foolishness to him. If you find someone that believes that serving God, going to church, reading your Bible, searching the scriptures for wisdom and how to live, and on and on and on. If this seems foolish to somebody, you just see right here, it's because they are not able to spiritually discern things. They're trying to understand life based on the natural man. In verse number 15, it says this, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now this word judge here, there's many words in the Bible for judge. There's mainly three main, there's a fourth. But this word is anakrino, and it means to scrutinize, to investigate, to interrogate, to seek a discernment, a spiritual discernment. So he that is spiritual judgeth all things. There is a spiritual component to everything. There is a spiritual component to everything. Why we do what we do, why somebody responds to you like they responded, why you responded to them like you responded, why you think what you think, why you do what you do, why you go where you go, why you're hung up with what you're hung up on, why you're good with what you're good, everything. There is a spiritual component to everything. To government, there's a spiritual component to it. To understanding government, to medicine, there's a spiritual component to it. To everything, there is a spiritual component. And so because of that, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, which means you seek a spiritual understanding for everything. Amen. That's what this says. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we, referring to those that are saved, have the mind of Christ by the Spirit of God. We have access to the mind of Christ by the Spirit of God. Yea, that Spirit bears witness with our spirit, so that we then as well can be one with the mind of Christ if we will seek it out. Now, spiritual blindness is to only have natural insight and sight on things. If all I have is a surface level natural understanding of things, I just have a natural perspective. I do not have a spiritual perspective. Now, do lost people have an opinion concerning spiritual things? Are they right? They can't be. Because the natural man cannot understand the Spirit of God. It's foolishness to them. Do you see that? Very interesting. Spiritual sight is to have the discernment and leading of the Spirit of God. That's all it is. And by the way, who can have that? Anyone. Remember, the prophecy and the Word of God, the giving of the true God's truth, it's not of any private interpretation. It's available to all. Amen? But only to those that are first born again, which you needed some spiritual insight to get born again, and then only to those that haven't quenched the Spirit and pushed the Spirit out. And we're going to look at exactly what some things that can bring that about. So the Spirit of God leads us in the Word of God to discern our own hearts as well as the situation at hand. The first thing that God discerns in our seeking of spiritual understanding is our own heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Listen, nobody wants their own heart judged first. But if we individually are going to understand things from a spiritual perspective, the first thing that needs to be discerned first is our motive, our intent, our own heart must be discerned first. Because this is what will keep us from truly tapping in to the spiritual understanding that God has for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick," meaning it's alive, it's powerful. It is not stagnant, amen. It's dynamic, it's powerful. "And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder in soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow." Watch this. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Whose heart? The reader's heart. Whose heart? The hearer's heart. Amen. Why are we so intent as believers that want God's will? Why are we so intent on just preaching and teaching and reading and studying and meditating, memorizing, amen, as John C. so graciously takes of his time to try to get us to memorize, amen? Why are we so intent on the word of God? Because it's by the word of God that we are discerned, and everything else is discerned. You want to see your own motive discerned? Then you go to the word of God and you study the word of God on something you're considering. The first thing that needs discerned when we're considering anything is our own heart. Why? Because our heart is deceitful. Our heart is wicked. Amen. Unless it is guided by the word of God, our heart will always lead us astray. We don't follow our heart. We guide our heart. How can it be so wrong if it feels so right? I'll tell you how. Because God says it's wrong. Amen. That's how it's wrong. Amen. Right and wrong is not based on me. It's not based on you. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on what we want it to be. Right and wrong is based on God. Amen. And so if we're going to be spiritually minded, then we have to yield to the Spirit in discerning our own heart before we can ever discern anything spiritually. It was in Proverbs 16:25. I quote this all the time. Amen. "That there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Consider that, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way, that's a direction, a thought process, that seems right unto man. But the Bible says, but the end of that way is death. So there's a lot of sincere people in life that think they're doing right, but they're just headstrong right into death. The wages of sin is death. Look over at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 11 one more time. We're going to review this passage because this is going to carry us on to 2 Corinthians 4. Back in 1 Corinthians 2, consider verses 11 through 14. Under the thought of there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Which means, I cannot know what God thinks about something, or even what he wants me to do or go or think or anything else or even say. I cannot know it but by the Spirit of God. In other words, I need the Spirit of God to reveal that to me. So I do not know the will of God without the Spirit of God. Verse 12. "Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God." So God has freely given to us as Christians all kinds of things. But we will never know what those things are unless we can spiritually discern them. What will it be like in heaven when God reveals to us all we left on the table because we couldn't see him? Amen? That's what discerning by the Spirit does. It opens our eyes. I like heaven. Eyesight, my eyes are not the best. Amen? I struggle with my eyes, actually. But I'm not complaining. Amen? Because I really do like eyesight. Kind of attached to it. Amen. I like it. Now, not everybody has eyesight, right? Some people are blind physically. Do you think that affects their life compared to one that does have sight? Think of that analogy. If I did not have eyesight right now, and I was just based on my other senses would be heightened, My hearing would be heightened, my touch would be heightened, my smell would be heightened, and I would have to discern things that way. But I would be greatly limited, wouldn't I? Right? Same thing's true of a Christian who is not spiritually discerning things. There's things all around them that are available to them that they cannot perceive, they cannot discern, they cannot see, because they're not operating with a spiritual eyesight. Instead, they're operating in spiritual blindness. All right? And that's what that passage is saying. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. When we go to a person who is not spiritually right with God, what kind of wisdom can we get from them? Let me say that again. When we go to a person that's either not saved or not where they should be in their Christian life, they're making some bad decisions. I'll share a list of things that can keep people spiritually blinded. We go to a Christian or go to a lost person, someone that's not discerning things by the Spirit of God, what kind of wisdom can we get from them? Only worldly wisdom. Is there a place for worldly wisdom? Yeah, we live in this world. There is a place for worldly wisdom. But as a Christian, do you want to be limited to only worldly wisdom? You shouldn't. You shouldn't want to be. Because we have been given the opportunity as Christians to be able to see and do things in a supernatural realm. To operate in a realm that is above the world. That's what we've been given. And some people might laugh at that, but that's exactly what God is saying here. Is that God has offered unto us spiritual eyesight, discernment, because he has things he wants to give to us. That's what it said in our text in 1 Corinthians. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen? But if we are not discerning things spiritually, we'll never know those things. Now, do natural people, do lost people, do they make it through life and live a long life and all? Yeah, they make it. But do they thrive? No. At the end of their day, will they be peaceful in their death? Well, absolutely not. Because they know they're not right with God. They know. And they cling on to life because they know that something's not right. Amen. So they'll make it. Sure, you can live. You can make it. But you will not make it as God would have you to make it. And by the way, as a Christian, if you're trying to live on a regular diet of worldly wisdom, you know something's missing. Amen? So don't feast on worldly wisdom and think that that's all there is. It's not. God has something special for you in the area of knowledge. And knowledge, by the way, is powerful. Amen? It's a powerful thing, and we know that to be true. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Watch this. This is what we're not going to do. Not walking in craftiness. Craftiness is what the world learns to do to get things over on others, right? There are some pretty crafty people in life, and they learn how to navigate some things so that they can get ahead of others, right? But we're not going to do that in Christianity, because we're not trying to navigate Christianity so we can get above some people, ahead of some people in a worldly way. We don't need to do that. Amen. That's not what God's called us to. It says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Who would handle the word of God deceitfully? Those that don't want to receive it honestly. Those that don't just want what God has for them, right? But people want to feel justified. So handling the word of God deceitfully is using the word of God for your own benefit. Excuse me, using the word of God for your own benefit from a carnal standpoint. Wow, that was good. Amen. Excuse me. And so we don't want to handle it deceitfully. And then it says this. It says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now think of that passage. It says, but by manifestation of the truth being revealed. Who reveals truth to us? God does, the Spirit of God. But then other spiritually discerning Christians, right? Iron sharpeneth iron. There's safety in the multitude of counselors, godly counselors. And so who reveals truth to us? The Spirit of God reveals truth to us. He reveals it through the Word of God. But then other people that have spiritual discernment also reveal it to us. Watch this. So we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What that means is, if another spiritually minded person has an issue with us, should that concern us? Yeah. Whoa. But what if they have a concern about something that we really want to do? Should we still be concerned, or should we just dismiss it? No, we should really be concerned. Because we understand that if we miss spiritual discernment on something, it cannot reveal to us what God has for us. Does that make sense? We as Christians want to be able to see with a godly, righteous eyesight. Amen? And God has given us some mechanisms to do that, but we can't risk being blinded or deceived. We just can't. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The devil wants to, the enemy wants to blind us from truth, right? There's a multiple ways that can be done, but he wants to lead us to where we do not believe the scriptures. You say, I would never do that. What if you get hurt and offended and God is leading you to forgive, but you don't want to? Well, you're challenged to dismiss the Bible in the area that says, be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, tenderhearted, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You are encouraged by the enemy to not focus on those passages so you can hang on to your offense. Does that make sense? We go through these things in life that we are challenged by the enemy to become unbelievers in certain areas of truth. That's the enemy. This is how he operates. He wants us to be blinded. If we're blinded, then we can't see. Does that make sense? And the enemy likes that. If you're fighting a war, and would you rather fight an army that could see or not see? I'm thinking I'd like to fight that one that's blind, amen. I think I'm going to have an advantage there. And so that's what the enemy, though, tries to do to us is cause us to be blinded to some areas. And if we have blind spots, where's the enemy going to approach us from? Where we can see clearly over here? No. He's going to approach us from a blind spot. He always exploits our weaknesses because he has an agenda and he's good at what he does, at spiritual warfare. Amen? And so we have to be able to have good eyesight. That's what we see in this text. It says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Whoa, light in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and he wants it to shine into our hearts so that we could see what's going on in there and discern and be perceptive, so we're not going to be deceived and led astray. So the whole point of the Word of God, the gospel, spiritual discernment is so that we can first see our own heart and have it discerned, so that then we can apply scripture in an external way as well. Verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Again, we hurt ourselves when we rest upon our own physical, natural abilities and understanding. We are helped when we rely on God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, proving all things, holding fast to that which is good. So why are people spiritually blind then? Well, as that passage just said, because the devil blinds the minds of those that do not believe. When somebody rejects truth, the enemy helps to keep them blinded in that area to keep the truth out. Now, if you receive truth when it comes, now the parable of the sower is that when the word of God comes, it comes, but if you do not receive that in good soil, the enemy, the devil as a bird steals it away. So the enemy cannot keep truth from coming, but if you don't grab onto that truth, then the enemy can steal it away and keep you blind. Amen? And that's what the scripture teaches. So it behooves us that when truth comes, we receive it. And we receive it as God would have us to. We prove it out and then receive it. Now, how does someone believe? Well, first, they have to have word to believe. So you have to be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. This is why we harp on read your Bible every day. And by the way, if you can't read it, at least listen to it. Amen? Get in the Word of God every day. Why? You need discerned every day. You need truth every day. Is there any excuse anybody could clearly give in a day that we live today not to be under Bible reading, teaching, preaching every day? No. There's no good reason. Amen? There just isn't. Amen? We need that. Why? Because I know me. I know who I am, and I need to be discerned. I need to be challenged every day because I am prone to failure. I am prone to making bad decisions. I am prone to being blinded. So I need the truth every day because I know me. And if you're honest about you, you know you, and you would say the same thing. I need discerned every day. Amen? And that's what we see here. So the Word of God has to come in. And by the way, when it comes in, I have to believe it. I have to believe it because if I don't believe it, it's going to get stolen away. So I have to have that. Why? Because in that belief comes light. And what happens with light? My ability to perceive things spiritually. I'm subject to be a mere mortal if I can't see spiritually. All I can see is naturally if I can't see spiritually. But if I can see spiritually, I can see things that most people can't. And by the way, so can you. If you will put yourself in the way of the Word of God so it can shine in and give you light, you believe it, you receive it, you have light to discern between good and evil. It's as simple as that. That is how it works for us. Once you're born again, that is how it works. You ever see that sign that says, 1 week without church, without Bible, whatever, makes 1 week. 1 week, W-E-E-K, 1 week. Will make without the Bible, whatever, will make you weak, W-E-A-K. 1 day without the Bible will make you weak. 1 day without the Word of God coming in and you believing it, receiving it in, will make you blind in some areas to where the enemy will exploit that in your lives. My life too. This is how it works. But we don't have to go that way because God has light for us. He has discernment for us if we will follow his plan for this. So how do we know this plan? Well, the Word of God reveals it to us. Amen? John 12, Jesus said to his disciples, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." Amen? And it goes on from there. It's a tremendous passage. And actually, let me read verse number 38. It says in John 12, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Who is this referring to? It's referring to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, all them which had the word, but they didn't believe it. They didn't receive it, and so then they were blinded. Amen? And so it's imperative that we receive that light so that we can see with that light. Well, how are we going to hear? Romans 10 tells us, how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so faith cometh by hearing, it says in John 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. It's imperative that we get ourselves under the word of God, hearing the word, reading the word, listening to the word, under preaching continually, because we need the light that comes from the word of God. Why? Because we live in a dark world. The darker things get, the more light you and I need. Amen? When it's dark outside, you can walk, but it sure is easier if you have some light to walk by. And sometimes a little bit of light ain't good enough, depending on what you're doing. Sometimes you need a lot of light. Amen? And why? Because then you really see the details around us. If we start putting things in understandable terms like that, you realize that if this world is as dark as we say it's getting, then all the more we need more light to walk by. Amen? Lest we find ourselves blind as well, or at least not able to see. Now, what else can cause spiritual blindness? Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 16 both tell us that gifts can cause us to be spiritually blind. In Exodus 23:8, it says, and thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Deuteronomy 16:19, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of righteousness. You say, what does that mean? Man, sometimes when we perceive benefit from certain things, we set aside spiritual truth so that we can still get those things that we are receiving. That gift is oftentimes used by the enemy to keep us away from truth and the word of God. Be very careful with gifts. Be very careful. Listen, sometimes friendships are this way. Sometimes people in a friendship will say to you, you know, I'm your friend, you need to be loyal to me. Well, my first allegiance is to God, amen. My first allegiance is to the one who died for me on the cross of Calvary and saved my soul, amen. Amen? So if somebody in this world says to me, I have this for you, but in order for you to get it, you have to stop following that Bible so much, right? Or whatever, we ease up. No, I can't do that. Don't accept that gift. Because that gift is going to cause you to pervert judgment. It's going to cause you to be blinded in certain areas. I would rather have spiritual eyesight without that gift than to lose my spiritual discernment so I could get something from the world, no matter what it is. Does that make sense? And so gifts then can cause us spiritual blindness because it can motivate us to not believe the word or act upon certain word. Do you see the connection? God gives us the word. Once it comes, we have to receive it, believe it, apply it to our lives, walk in it. If we don't, we become blind in that area. And if we become blind in that area, we can't spiritually discern in that area. And if that happens, the enemy will exploit that area. Make sense? And so that's how it works. Bitterness. Hebrews 12 says, follow peace with all men, verse 14, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we need to follow peace and holiness, righteousness. Without it, we can't discern, right? We can't see the Lord. If I can't see the Lord, I can't follow the Lord. If I can't see him, I can't perceive what God has for me. And it goes on to say, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Whoa, great. I need God's divine power, his grace, amen, so that I can discern what's going on. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The example is given in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. How do we know that Esau had bitterness? Because of this passage. Esau's bitterness blinded him, and it enabled him to think lightly of the things of God. God had set him in an order such that the birthright was his. It was a spiritual thing. He could not discern the value of it because of his bitterness, whatever that was, whoever it was towards. And so he sold it for some beans, some pottage, amen. And so when we are not operating with spiritual discernment, we easily let go of things we shouldn't let go of. And we bring unto ourselves things we should not bring unto ourselves because we perceive value in it and no value here when the opposite's actually true. The thing that we dismissed, God says, no, that was the valuable thing, but you just couldn't see it because you were in bitterness. Do you see? And so bitterness will blind our eyes to God's eyesight so that we cannot discern between good and bad in our lives. And when we can't discern between good and bad, we end up bringing in the bad and rejecting the good. So gifts can actually cause us to have spiritual blindness. Bitterness, unforgiveness, things like that can cause us to have spiritual blindness. Rebellion to God and authority can cause us to have spiritual blindness. I'm not going to read the passage because it's a little bit longer. 1 Samuel 15, 13 through 23, Samuel comes to Saul and he was told to kill the Amalekites. And for whatever reason, it was given that order and he saved some back. And he saved some of the choice of the land and the animals and all that. And Samuel comes up and he goes, what's that? Meh. What is that noise I'm hearing? Meh. You were supposed to be killing all, like, wipe all that out. And he talks like, oh, no, I did it because I was just, you know, wanted to save the best so I could sacrifice unto the Lord. I did it for spiritual reasons, right? And Samuel said to him, verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So because Saul rejected the word of the Lord. Now remember that connection to the word of the Lord? God gives us the word of the Lord. When he gives it, we have to receive it because it can be stolen away. When we receive it, we gain light. And with that light, we discern, right? But if we stop that process, then we do things and say, I'm just doing the will of the Lord. And Samuel came in and said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You see, because Samuel saw, but Saul didn't see. Because Saul was, he rebelled against God's word. God gave his word. He didn't get the light because Saul chose to reject that truth. Amen? And so that's how it works. And so that is rebellion. So rebellion to God, God's word, God's authorities here, that also will cause spiritual blindness. Iniquity, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doth not hear me. If the Lord is not hearing you, there's a disconnect between you and God. Iniquity in our heart is to him that knoweth do good, it says in James, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you knowingly are doing wrong, God has given you truth, and you know, and your conscience is bearing witness there that you're doing wrong, and you continue in that wrong, you're blinded. You are causing a blindness. To maintain that, you're rejecting truth, no light. You're spiritually blind in that area. So iniquity, self-will, if you will, just doing what I want to do, even though, God, I know it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, you're blinded now because you've rejected light. And now you're operating as a blind man. And all you have to operate on now is what you naturally know. And you have no ability to spiritually discern. But don't worry, you'll act like you do. That's what we do. That's what we do. You say, well, what can help me? Your daily Bible reading will help you. Listen, being surrounded around a good group of people that you know are spiritually minded. Amen. So that they can provoke you to love and good works. Amen. This is what we do so that, because we know us and we know how we're prone to these things. But we understand we can't afford to live spiritually blind. So we put some protections in place. Amen? So spiritually, the spiritually blind typically seek counsel from those who are also spiritually blind. And then those that are that can actually see spiritually, they mock them and make fun of them and figure out some way to you know, find some fault there so they can dismiss them. Say, where do you get that from? Well, in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse number 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard that saying? Now, why were the Pharisees offended? Because they knew Jesus spoke truth, but they didn't like that truth. And they didn't want others to believe that truth. And so they started to build a narrative against Jesus. Why? Well, verse 13. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Blind people seek leadership from other blind people. That's a problem. That's why while you're seeing clearly, you need to put things in place, develop these habits so that if you happen to fall into a period of blindness or a spot of blindness, that there's things in place like your daily Bible reading and studying, like being at a church that is spiritually minded so that you can be challenged and you're open to that and you don't close yourself off to that, amen, because you know you and you know you need to be able to see and you can find yourself in a blind spot and unless you have mechanisms in place to bring you some light, you'll be trapped in that blindness and then not only will you suffer, but so will everyone around you. Jesus came to give us salvation and spiritual eyesight. In the last couple minutes that we have, consider this. Psalm 146, 8 says, The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 29 says this in verse 18, And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 35 verse 4 says, Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then, of course, Isaiah 42 in verse number 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. Praise the Lord. We're talking about God, the creator of all things. Amen. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand. Isn't that a blessing? God will hold your hand if you'll let him. Amen. What does someone do when they hold your hand? They lead you. Let God lead you by his word, by his truth, and by his spirit. And will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. Why? Verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, is what he says. He says he wants to give light. He wants to give hearing to the deaf. He wants to give you spiritual discernment and eyesight. It's not going to happen because you have it. It's going to happen because you realize you don't have it, but it's availed to us by His word, if we'll just believe His word. Spiritual blindness is true of all lost souls. All lost people are spiritually blind. They can only see naturally. Spiritual blindness can be true of the saved when they are not allowing the word of God to discern their thoughts and intents, their motives. When they are blinded by gifts or blinded by bitterness or blinded by rebellion or blinded by iniquity. Christ came to give us spiritual eyesight so we can first be saved and then so that we can walk in the light and be brought out of the prison of darkness and carnality so that we can do the will of God and bring Him glory. Amen. I hope that you will strive to have in your Christian life that you will strive to have 2020 spiritual eyesight. Amen. Not because you already have it. You realize you don't, but you know who does. and you seek his word and believe it, so then that you can see as God would have you to see. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. It's such an important lesson for us in reference to life and understanding all things, lest we think we're something when we're nothing. God, we need your sight. We need your discernment. We need these things, because without it, we walk in darkness and we try to lead others in that obscurity, and we both end up falling into the ditch. God, thank you for this night. Help us with this message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.